chapter 12, starting at verse 1.
Praise and glory to God.
Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given to Jesus in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was meant that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm not sure how many of you remember the old days, maybe, 20 years ago, when you would have had a few people over and some of you decided, we'll watch a video. So since maybe your collection of videos wasn't too big, you sent somebody down to the video rental store and they would return with three choices and you would select one of them. Well, back about 20 years ago, there were some people who still thought there was quite some money to be made in video rental stores. Of course, as time has gone on, that has been shown that is not the case. And it's nowadays nearly, people say, it's like if you invested in a video rental store 20 years ago when you've done a bad investment. And indeed, investing often seems to be picking the right thing, going with the signs of the time so that your investment brings good returns. Because we all know that new times sometimes call for new actions, new way of doing things, and that old ways of doing things may not be right in new times. Maybe in our reading from the gospel that also seems to have been the case to a certain degree. The event in the gospel happened as Jesus had traveled towards Jerusalem. He had restored Lazarus to life, and now the local leaders were trying to find a way of getting Jesus out of the way. Our reading happens before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we will celebrate next Sunday on Palm Sunday, and all the events that would lead to his death. Of course, at this time of our reading, even though Jesus had talked about his coming suffering and death, it seems not to have been in the thought of Jesus' disciples or the crowds following him. They were still seeing the glorious Messiah. However, John, the gospel writer, indicates that this is a crucial moment when things might change. After all, Jesus here visits the house of Lazarus 6 days before Passover. So 6 days before the Jews remembered the great liberation out of slavery, 6 days before such a significant holiday. Jesus' visit to Lazarus begins as a nice dinner, but then it gets a bit strange, a bit different. We read that Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That's not normal behavior, not even back in ancient Judea. the guests were taken back a bit. In the Gospel of Mark, where this event is recorded as well, we read that most of the guests were upset with what Mary did. Here in the Gospel of John, it is just one guest. It's Judas Iscariot, who speaks the words aloud, but it probably was thought by most of them. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And indeed, it seems wasteful. After all, a year's wages, so maybe $50,000 in today's terms, was spent on perfume. I'm not sure who would not get upset about that. I mean, it could even, you know, once we get to the AGM, it could cover St. Paul's deficit for a year. Or it could be given to the poor, as Judas said. Giving to the poor was seen as something honorable to do back then, too, just as it is today. After all, societal systems in most places and times have somehow resulted in unjust distribution of resources and some people not getting enough for a good life. I think it's a reasonable objection to Mary's extravagant use of perfume. But in the gospel, we are given a clear hint that this argument is really not an excuse, because Judas never really was concerned about the poor. Rather, he wanted to get a cut from anything that came through the money bag. And Jesus defends Mary, and yet he also agrees with Judas. He says, "You will always have the poor among you." I don't think that's a dismissal of any concern for the poor. After all, it's a quote from Deuteronomy 15:11, which reads, "There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and towards the poor and needy in your land." So in the context of the Old Testament passage that Jesus is referring to here, Jesus then does not say that giving to the poor is a lost cause, just because there will always be poor. Rather, Jesus recognizes Judas' expressed concern as right and proper. I don't think Jesus would be happy if people thought that buying perfume and other fragrances was generally more important than helping our neighbors and especially the poor. But Jesus seems to say that Mary has recognized the right time, that in this particular instance, it is more significant and important that Mary uses her resources to pour perfume over Jesus' feet in preparation for his death. Because the death of Jesus is crucial for salvation, it is crucial for God's interaction with humans. It is even more important than giving to the poor. Mary has recognized that significance, but Judas has not. Judas misses what God is doing through Jesus. Judas has not recognized the time, and Judas has not recognized Jesus. The anointing of Jesus is the transition from his ministry in Galilee and Judea to these crucial events of the week in Jerusalem as he goes to his suffering and death, but then also the vindication of the resurrection. Through the events of that week, Jesus' mission is fulfilled and salvation brought to the world. It needs to be noted that this anointing by Mary also marks out in which way Jesus is the Messiah, because the term Messiah means the anointed one, the one set apart by God as a prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is anointed here. He is the Messiah, but the anointing is done with a particular focus on his death. That's how Jesus will be the prophet, priest, and king, and will redeem Israel and the world. The anointing of Jesus did not happen by some well-known prophet, but by Mary, the sister of Lazarus. This is how Jesus is the Messiah, the one who through death conquers death. Therefore, pouring perfume over Jesus' feet was the right thing for Mary to do at that point. This is the time of salvation, and Mary has recognized that. In the Gospel of Mark, the name of the woman pouring the perfume over Jesus is not mentioned. But Jesus there says that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. It is clear that this is a significant act in God's salvation of humans. So we should remember that act as part of the earthly series of events that brought salvation, healing, and hope to humans. So that's the unique aspect of Mary's actions. I think a secondary message that Jesus mentioned frequently is that we need to recognize the times in which we are. And we need to recognize God's particular call in our times. So what does God call us to that's different, that's out of the ordinary? In light of the salvation that happened 2,000 years ago, and with our particular circumstances in mind, what can we recognize as the action that God is calling us to now? That call may go beyond the conventional wisdom. Maybe we are called to give money to the poor. Maybe we are not. But conventional wisdom should not serve as an excuse to turn away from God's call. Psalm 126, the psalm we read today, tells us of the surprise and joy at God's salvation. So in the past, the people of Israel have wept, but now those tears have turned to laughing. The psalm reflects a time when God is doing great things among the people. But the psalm also mentions the times of tears, the constant plodding for years on end when nothing seems to work out. The people were called to that perseverance, and in the end, they also recognized the time of God's salvation. Our readings focus our attention on God's salvation, and particularly on the death and resurrection of Jesus, through which our sins are forgiven and we are reconciled to God and one another. And so it prepares us for that particular time of passion into which we come next week. But in response to that, we are then called to follow God in our own lives with faithfulness. And sometimes we need to go beyond conventional wisdom in that.